those times when you feel like there's a sign there on your back. Says I don't mind if you kick me, seems like everybody has. Things go from bad to worse, you think they can't get worse than that, and then they do. You step off the straight and narrow and you don't know where you are. Use the needle of your compass to sew up your broken heart. Ask directions from a genie in a bottle of Jim Beam and she lies to you. That's when you learn the truth. If you're going through hell, keep on going, don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show it, you might get out, or the devil even knows you're there. Well, I've been deep down in that darkness, I've been down to my last match. Filled 100 different demons, breathing fire down my back. And I knew that if I stumbled, I'd fall right into the trap that they were laying. Yeah. But the good news is there's angels everywhere out on the street, holding out a hand to pull you back up on your feet. The ones that you've been dragging for so long, you're on your knees, you might as well be praying. Guess what I'm saying, if you're going through hell.
Welcome to 7x70. We are coming to you live this 27th day of August, last Thursday of the month. We welcome you here to the Radio Ranch. I like this song by Josh Turner. Hope you do. Sometimes it might seem like we're going through hell. I'm going to talk a little bit about that tonight. No, not the hell part, but just sometimes what it's like when we feel that that's what we're doing. Because the Bible addresses that. His word tells us that, hey, there are times that we're going to, oh, it's going to be rough. Think about King David. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah, that's what that's called. That's going through hell. That's exactly what that is. He went through that. Just Josh Turner's song kind of, talks about it a little bit different. A little different terminology. Sometimes we think, we feel we're going through hell. When maybe we're really not. And that's kind of what I thought we'd talk about tonight is, we'll get to that. Also want to go over, we are finishing up, if you tuned into the prayer meeting last night. We kind of had the mics on a little open a little bit before, but thankfully we weren't too embarrassed. Just talking a little bit about getting this Dragon Slayer Volume 6 newsletter wrapped up. It's at the printer. Jason might get that thing finished printing maybe tomorrow, maybe Monday. It'll go in the mail. And was working yesterday and today on the online version, and we've just about got that done. And so I wanted to share, kind of give you a little glimpse at what that newsletter is going to entail and some of the articles that are in that. Certainly can't cover all of it in just tonight's broadcast, but there's one article in particular that I did want to talk about because I think it applies to just to that song tonight. When you're going through hell, what do? Well, you keep on going. And that's what we are to do. But let's start out with a word of prayer, and we might get to open the phone lines up a little bit later. But Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, with gratitude, Lord, and with thankfulness. Thank you, Lord, that you've given. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here on the radio tonight, Lord. I thank you for the foundation that was laid, Lord, the work, the sweat, the blood, the tears, the years of dedication and service that our pastor put in, Lord, in building this network, in building, of course, with the blessing of the Holy Spirit, and Lord, in standing on your promises that we can do all things through Christ Jesus, Lord. But I thank you for the dedication that our pastor put forth, Lord, and the good example that he was, the example of a workman worthy of his hire, Lord, an example of a good Christian man, Lord, a pastor, a teacher, Lord, one that was not afraid to stand up, and Lord, one that worked, that worked from sunup to sundown, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for that. And I pray that, Father, you would allow what we do today, what we are doing now with the ministry, Lord, including this broadcast tonight, that, Lord, you would let it add, that you would let it continue to build upon that foundation of Jesus Christ, Lord, in edifying your people, and being a blessing to you, Lord, and Lord, to continuing to further that great commission and getting the gospel out to all creation, Lord, and to tending the sheep. And that's my prayer tonight, Lord, that, and I'm thankful that you give us this opportunity, and I pray for your blessings on it. Lord, I pray your blessings on your remnant too, Lord, that you would guide and protect them, Lord, and keep them from all harm and all evil in these evil days, Lord. They are dark days that we're in, Lord, and not unlike those that have come before us, Father, when they were in captivities and in exile, Lord, and in dark days, as the prophets warned them. But Lord, we know you've always kept your remnant, and you've always protected those that are yours, especially those that return and repent and return unto you. And so, Lord, we have done that, and we thank you that your promise is there, Lord. We remind you of it, Lord, knowing that we who are imperfect, we who are full of sin, Lord, and they're just born into that sinful nature. But Lord, we have returned and repented and not only believed your word, but obeyed it and repented and been baptized, Lord. And that is such an important part and will continue to be a foundation of this ministry, Lord. Baptism, Acts 2:38, baptism, water regeneration, baptism for the remission of sins, so that we may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Lord, so that we can share, Lord, in your death, so that we can share in the glory of your resurrection, Lord, so that we are baptized into you, so that we may be clothed in you. And we thank you that you've given us that opportunity, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. And we pray, Lord, your protection and your blessings on all of your remnant, Lord, all of those of yours that are not only believers, but are doers of your word as well. And we thank you for that, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the only name that there is salvation in, and the name whose power and authority is over all other power and authority in this realm and every realm that there is. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. And that is his name, Jesus Christ. You know, if you speak Spanish, I understand it would be, what? Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, I think, is what it is. You can tell I don't speak Spanish. I speak English. And I understand what his name is. And it is Jesus Christ. And that's who we pray to. And that's who answers our prayer. And so, anyway, we welcome you to the live program Thursday night, August 27th. Come to you from we got a little rain last night here at the Radio Ranch. And today, Scott is out of the hay fields. That let us finish the newsletter pretty much up today. And that's what I want to get to tonight, talk to you a little bit about that. But you know, if you're in our Bible reading plan, we hope that you are. You're finishing up Jeremiah today. And I'm going to go to Lamentations for the next couple days, and then, of course, into Ezekiel. But you're finishing up Jeremiah 51 and 52 today. And I just want to read a couple of quick excerpts out of it, because it so aptly describes our nation today. It truly does. Starting in verse 7 of Jeremiah 51, just a few verses here. Jeremiah 51:7. Babylon has been a golden cup in the hand of the Lord, intoxicating all the earth. The nations have drunk of her wine, therefore the nations are going mad. And so do you see that, yeah, we understand we're in a Babylonian captivity again. We understand that it's not unlike being exiled into Assyria, exiled into Babylon again. It's just a little bit different this time, in that the Babylonians have come in on us. The system, that Babylonian system of old, that Baal system, is once again, we have allowed it. It's our fault, yours and mine, Christian baptized remnant, and our forefathers, our fathers, and our grandfathers, and our great-grandfathers, and their wives, and their parents, for allowing this. Heavenly Father, we repent. Lord, we repent of our sins, known of unknown. Lord, we repent. I repent of my father's sins, of his father's sins, of his father's sins, Lord, and of his father's sins, and his father before him, Lord. Forgive them of their sins, Lord. Forgive me of their sins. Lord, forgive us in this nation for the sins of our forefathers, Lord, that turned away from you, that allowed the alien in the land, Lord, that repeated what their forefathers before them had done. And Lord, we know your word is true in this, Lord, this heartfelt prayer of repentance to you, Lord. Hosea 4:6 that says, Lord, if we forget you and your law, you forget our children. And Lord, how many generations are we into that? But Lord, we break that now, Lord, because we remember you. We remember you, God Almighty, the creator of the universe, Lord, who created the stars and calls each one of them by name. You who are mighty and worthy to be praised, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for turning away from you, for thinking that we are higher and mightier. Lord, we know that you are controlling all things. You control that half-breed in the White House, and you control whoever gets in the White House after him, Lord, and we don't think there's going to be any difference, no matter who it is. But Lord, we know you are the creator, and as your word says, you hold Babylon as a golden cup in your hand, Lord. Forgive us. Lord, we are returning to you. We are returning to kingdom thinking, Lord, to kingdom ways. We are turning away from sin as a people in repentance, in humiliation, Lord, in humbleness, coming before you. We thank you for hearing it, Lord. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayers and for being the God of gods. In Jesus' name again, amen. And in Jeremiah, a little bit later, Jeremiah 51, verse 45 says, come forth from her midst, my people, and each of you save yourselves. See, you can save yourself. You can't do it of your own power. You can't do it of your own will. Maybe I guess it is of your own will if you choose to do that. But there's a way. But you have to come out of her. You can't stay in her. You can't stay in Babylon, this Babylonian system, and expect to receive the blessings of God. We just read in this same chapter of Jeremiah 51, the nations have drunk of her wine, the Babylonian intoxicating wine, and are going mad. But God himself says, come forth out of her, each of you save yourselves from the fierce anger of the Lord. So that's just Jeremiah 51 and 52. Well, you'll have to read through that. Don't want to spend a lot of time on that. But you know, we'll be getting into to Ezekiel by the time we come back next week. So I encourage you to be reading your Bible. It's been encouraging to me, and I don't know what else I can say about it. I know if you will take the time to read it, it'll be an encouragement to you. It'll be a blessing to you. And that reminds me, we'll have our September Bible reading plan calendar up. Probably get it posted up Monday on the website so that you can download that. You can go to our website, scripturesforamerica.org, and there we have the Bible reading plan. It's a free resource, and you can just click on the Bible reading on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll give you that PDF each month. We've been able to put that monthly calendar up because it's an important thing. It is. And I hope you have one of them in your Bible. I have one here in mine. And again, it's a reminder. It's a way to, well, hopefully a way to help tend the sheep. I want to talk to you about the Dragon Slayer, the newsletter. Been putting this newsletter out for years. Pastor has been a mainstay of the ministry, and we continue to put it out, send out thousands upon thousands. And as a pastor used to say, it's a monthly newsletter. The key is you just don't know which month it's going to make it out, or which months. And so, but we are going to have one out here by the end of August. You'll be getting it the 1st of September, even in with the Labor Day holiday, should be getting it in before then, and we'll be emailing this out tomorrow, maybe Monday at the latest, to the hundreds of you that have asked to receive it via email. And the volume 6 is called The Holy Spirit, and it starts out, as most of them do, with a From the Ramrod. Got an excellent 3-page little dissertation and explanation from the Ramrod. We encourage you to look at it. And again, we'll have it online here in a couple days. And I think he's talking about authority and the authority that Jesus Christ has, and how that authority has been transferred. Although he still retains it, he has shared it. He shares his authority, and he truly does. And then also in the newsletter, we're glad to report, we've mentioned it on the radio a time or two, but we now carry the Webster's 1828 American Dictionary of the English Language, the big one, the big thick one with the green hard cover. These are wrapped in plastic. They come in their own shipping box, and we now have them available. So not really an infomercial tonight, but this is something new, and we're advertising it in this newsletter. It is $60. That's a little pricey, I understand, but that includes shipping. And, you know, we're not making a lot of money on this at all. It's really just to get our costs covered, to get it ordered, to get it into us, and then to get it shipped back out to you, to those that order. So we do have this now, and we've already sent three out without advertising it. And so, but it's the Webster's 1828 Dictionary. The old original. And if you don't have this Bible, this Bible-based dictionary, I encourage you. You know, if you've got time to do big searches, you can find a better price by get it from somebody. But we're carrying it now. $60, Webster's original 1828 dictionary, and it is just a further proof, in addition to everything else, it is a further proof of the Christian foundation that this nation started with. It truly is. And so, if you don't have it, we now carry it, and we encourage you to do your best to get that. And moving right along here, some other articles. I'll just give you little teasers for a few of them. Some other articles in this new Volume 6 Dragon Slayer. One article is called The Helper, the Holy Spirit, and it's just about all scriptures, and it does a good description of explaining that, of hopefully explaining a little better exactly what that helper is, that Holy Spirit that we read about in the Bible. And then also in this newsletter, if you'll get it, there you might remember a few years back, the pastor came out with a small booklet called the I Am Confessional, and that book has been it's been an encouragement to many, and it was an encouragement to him. He kept it right there close to his Bible and occasionally would turn back and read it. And it's a reminder of who and what we are now that we are in Christ, now that we are doers of the Word and not hearers only. Are we perfect? No. But those of us that have believed and been baptized, repented and been baptized, full immersion baptism for the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of sins. And then we have contacted the blood of Christ. That's where we contacted in that water baptism. And then as Galatians says, because we've been baptized into Christ, we are now clothed in Christ. We have those wedding garments on. But we have to remember that, because the world, this Babylonian system, Satan's system, him and his children don't want true Christians to know that. And so pastor came out with this I Am Confessional as a reminder. We have it. I think we'd be glad to send it to you if you're part of the ministry. We ask for a dollar donation, but you know, we send them into the prisons at no charge. It's a cost to us to print them, to continue to print them and keep them in stock and mail them out. Postage rates have gone out the roof, but we'd be glad to send it to you. And it's a reminder. I want to thank the brothers today, Brother Ralph. And hey, I just got your text here that, yeah, the 1828 can be found online as well. Thanks. And Ralph, I want to thank you. Sent out some encouraging IMs today. And it's I Am Strong in the Lord, and that type of thing. And we all have to be reminded at times that we're not just in captivity. We're not just taxpayers. We're not just fathers and husbands and sons and employees. You know, we are in Christ, and He is in us. And we are, if we've obeyed the Word, we are in the Lamb. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, we are saved, truly saved. We are redeemed. We are healed. I claim that one today. I am healed. And so, the I Am Confessional is you know, when it got sent out, it was entitled New from the Arsenal, and that's truly what it is, because it is a weapon. It is a weapon. Well, back to Newsletter 6. We're going to give you some more I Ams. And so we have a few pages of just that. More I Ams to be a further encouragement, more scriptures for you, more, hopefully just that, more encouragement for you, the remnant. And several other articles. This is a slam-jammed full newsletter this month. It truly is. We had one of the Gideon Elite send in an article, and we were so impressed by it, we wanted to share it with you. And so we are in this newsletter, and it's entitled Jesus' Deliverances and Healings. And it looks at some of the common denominators and common things that we read about in the different Gospels when Jesus was walking on this earth, and it was recorded that the healings that He did, the deliverances that He did. And so it's biblical, right out of the Bible. You can read it. You let us know if we misquoted anything. If we ever do, we usually get notified about it. And that's a good thing. That means you're out there like the Bereans. You're looking into a matter. And that's what we are all to do. That's what our pastor encouraged each and every one of us to do. He would say, don't believe him, what he tells you, what he reads out of the Bible. Go open your Bible and you look yourself. I know many of you remember our pastor teaching and preaching on that. I certainly do. He would do it himself. We believe it from the Word, and so we are to search out a matter. So you look at these articles we put out in the newsletter and search them out. You'll see that they're biblical, they're scriptural, they're in line with proper, true biblical teaching. But you know, we can't be stagnant. We are, praise God, we are growing. You know, I have several children. I've shared that with the remnant out there, and as I know most of us do, and I think most of you fathers out there can relate to this. Some of you have heard the name George. It's my son. He's 13 now. He's as big as I am, pretty close to that. He's growing. He's just getting into a growth spurt. His older brothers are, well, they're going to be a little jealous because I think George is going to be bigger than all of them. And so that's how it is. He's growing. And you know, that's good and proper. We make sure we feed him good. And boy, he eats a lot, I can tell you that. He does. But it's good to see him growing, you know. And now sometimes there's growing pains. You know, several of our children have had them. I remember when I was young and growing, I'd wake up at night with cramps in my legs, or, you know, your legs would just ache and you'd have growing pains. And, oh, it would hurt. It would hurt, and it was just part of it. And you'd go crying in to mom or dad, not that I ever cried, once or twice, but not too often. And, you know, they'd get you a glass of water and maybe some lemon juice and a banana and, you know, things to help you with your growing pains. But you had to go through them. You had to grow. And all that's in the physical. But you know, it's like that in the spiritual as well. And I put this out there. I can't quite see my reflection in the mirror because it's still a little twilighty outside, or my reflection in the glass here at the broadcast booth looking out over the radio ranch. But I say this to myself as well as to each and every one of you out there, Christian. When you stop growing, you've died. We're not to be, you know, gaining all this knowledge and never learning is condemned in the Bible, but we are to be growing in His grace and His knowledge. And you know, if we think we have everything figured out about God and the Bible, well, if you think you got it all figured out, you're just wrong, because then you'd be God. So don't put yourself in that position. Don't make yourself think that you got everything figured out about baptism. Don't think that you got everything figured out about God's grace. Don't think you got everything figured out about God's mercy. or about His Son Jesus Christ. We have what the Word has given us, that Word that walked among us, that was God Himself that became flesh. We have what that Word gives us. We have, as the Word says, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, that since Jesus Christ has gone away, that He said He would send. And we're going to go over to John. We're going to read, I think, from John tonight. So you might flip over to John just to get ready, and I'll get into some scripture here in just a minute. I'm going to flip over there too. And I got a text from a brother the other day, and he said, I appreciate you putting it out that, you know, we might still be a little fuzzy about a few things. And see, this is not weakness. Admitting this is not changing directions in the ministry or in our Christian walk, but it's expanding it. When we can admit that, you know, Lord, there's a few things here. Now, we're supposed to be teachers, but there's a few things here that we're still figuring out. And there's a few deeper things here that, you know, we're still working on. But that's how it is. That's how it's supposed to be. And I know that, oh, there's some that might have a better understanding of revelations than we do. There's some that might have a better understanding of something else than we do. That's how it is. That's how it is. But we have to continue to be able to be each and every one of us, you and me both, brother, sister, we have to be teachable. We have to be as the Bereans were, I believe it's who it was, that searched out the matter, that took the time to look into the Scriptures to make sure that, you know, hey, this is right. It truly is. So we're going over to John. Still going over to John. We're going to go to John 14. And you know, I've shared it before, this was one of my mother's, I think my mother's favorite passage was John 14. And that's where we're going to start. John 14, going to start in verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so, hopefully those are words of encouragement. And one of the articles that we have in this newsletter, trying to keep it all tied together, but one of the articles that we have in this newsletter is called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. And it's from the old SFA archives, okay? And it ties in with one of the messages we have on CD, number 566, The Incredible But Obeyable Command. And it is a message that the pastor brought, and from an old newsletter from 1993. And we brought it out off an old newsletter, had to retype it, reset it, and it's in this newsletter. And I just want to read through. Not going to be able to read it all. And again, it's Pastor Peter's article. He wrote it. But I want to go over a few highlights. I think it's that good and that important for us to go over in light of everything that's happening today. Again, as a reminder, to let not your heart be troubled. So I'm going to read some of this. If I end up with some comments, they won't be as good as what we're reading in there, but I'll stop and add in a comment or two. But and again, this will be coming out in the newsletter, but I want to share it with you. And again, it starts in John 14:1. Jesus said to the apostles there in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. This command is still in place and directed to those who follow him today. And so I pause there. And we have to remember that. Let not your heart be troubled. And the article goes in and explains this a little bit. But it's a command then, and it's a command now. The Word of God doesn't change, and God doesn't change. So if he told us then to let not your heart be troubled, It's like him standing in front of us today and saying, Richard, let not your heart be troubled. Now, we can either be doers of the word and obey that or not. We have a choice. We read on. This command seems simple enough on the surface. However, when we read it in context, it can take on a different light. The setting of the verse is the Last Supper, the context of the conversation, and the events that transpired at that gathering. And we read about that in John 13. The apostles had just learned that a traitor existed in their very midst, that a plant, so to speak, had infiltrated their very inner circle and was conspiring to betray the master. They were told he would be delivered up to the Jews and that he was leaving them, and where he was going, they couldn't come. Then, to top it all off, they said Peter, it was said that Peter would deny...
Paired off the internet.
Yeah, it did. We just got another power spike, electricity spike here. I'm just now... Hey, welcome, Bill. I think we're just getting back on the air.
Okay.
Don't
all
even
right.
have
Thank
the recording
you.
Back on. Thanks a lot, Bill. Appreciate it.
Bye.
And another electricity spike. Gotta love these summer storms. Well, I think we are getting back on. And, yeah, I got to send an IM to Ralph. Like, I am without electricity. When that happens, we had a power surge blow out our UPS battery backup. We're on a smaller one, and it just doesn't handle it when that kind of thing happens. Of course, when everything goes off, not much can take care of that. But anyway, praise the Lord, we're back. And what we were talking about is there in John 14, reading that, again, the context of this, let not your heart be troubled. And so the... It's been presented to the apostles that there is a traitor in their midst, and there's going to be some denials. And so that's how this works. So we continue on. So now consider the ramifications this newly revealed knowledge had upon these men. Men who had given up everything to follow Jesus Christ. They had grand expectations for him and for them. He'd become the very center of their lives. Through him, they obtained room and board. He'd become their security, their protection, their social life, and their everything. And they loved him, and now he's telling them that he's leaving. Hey, I'm leaving. And where I'm going, you can't come. You read about that in John 13:33. This was the setting and the circumstances that framed the words, let not your heart be troubled. And so we have to remember that. That's the setting. And so it's bad news. It's bad news to the apostles, is what it is. And so, again, we just have to remember these words. So first, it needs to be understood. Let not your heart be troubled. Understand that it can be done. It's possible for our master. Our master does not cruelly command what is impossible to do. In other words, you can do it. You can let not your heart be troubled. It is something that each and every one of us have the capacity to do. It is possible for you to let not your heart be troubled. When the future looks uncertain, as it did to the apostles then, when your social life crumbles around you because of Christ, as it did for the apostles then, when your economic future looks bleak, maybe you've lost a job, or when you don't know what you're going to do with your life, or even if you don't know when a loved one is going to live or going to die, it can be done. You can let not your heart be troubled. And I pause here, coming up with the second little thing here Pastor reminds us of is that it should be done. And so, but we can do it. We read through the Bible that we're told not to fret, not to worry about our life, because worrying about it, we can't add one second to it. And so when we abide in him, we have that peace that he gives. So there we are. Second, it should be done, which is just another way of saying this was and is a commandment. The scriptures we have, just because it's not the Big Ten, doesn't mean they're not commandments. This commandment's been said many ways. Here's some scripture verses we'll read through. In Matthew 6:25 says, do not be anxious for your life. And you know, that's something we're to be overcomers. That's something we have to overcome. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your anxieties upon him, for he cares for you. You know, I got to speak to a brother today in Pennsylvania, and we spoke, and you know, he said, and what a realization that was for him to understand that this Bible was not just about us, but it was about him. It was not just to us as a people, but it was about him. And it was about Christ caring for him. Not just for us, but for him. So this tells me, Richard, cast all of Richard's anxieties upon him because he, Jesus Christ, cares for Richard. And that applies to each and every one of us. We don't have to have the cares and anxieties of the world. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for some things, only the real important things. No, that's not what Philippians 4:6 says. It says, be anxious for nothing. Whew. Still working on that one, Lord, because I get a little anxious about this and that, and, you know, the end of the month is coming up, and we got haying to do, and got communion Saturday or Sunday, and but he says, be anxious for nothing. So when I can do my best to follow that command, well, that's pleasing to God. That's how, I think it's Psalms 103, is it, that says, bless the Lord, O my soul. How do I bless the Lord? Be a doer of the word. Be anxious for nothing. Matthew 10:31 tells us, do not fear. You know, we are only to fear him and none other. And Psalms 37:8 reminds us, do not fret. Now, these are some of the things that we are to be doers of the word about. These are things we are to be doing. We might be ready to, oh, do this big thing. Oh, we're ready to make a pilgrimage, or we're ready to make a sacrifice, or we're ready to make others be a sacrifice. We're ready to do those things. But we got to be able to do these things first, I truly believe. We get back to the pastor's article. It should be done, if we are his disciples, as truly submissive, obedient, repentant people who love and trust their God. And 1 John 5:3 tells us, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not. His yoke is light. I think we've heard that before. And it's this world's yoke and laws and commandments that are grievous. Well, we go back. The truth is, here in the article, it is so very often not done. The word trouble means in the Greek to stir or agitate, and has also been translated stirred up, frightened, and terrified. And that's the word trouble. It certainly fits the term fume and fret, which is exactly what so many do. The word fume means to blow off, to emit vapor, to be agitated or distraught. The word fret is equally descriptive and is reminiscent of an ill child with a petulant half-cry, half-whine throughout a troublesome night. A frightened, anxious, fretful, worrisome heart dissipates power and energy that one could have as an obedient Christian, and it causes the Christian to become unfruitful. The fact is evident in the parable of the sower, and that's in Matthew 13:3-23. Here's Matthew 13:22 as part of that out of there. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Whew, what an article. I hope you can see why I wanted to share this with you. This article from the archives way back from 1993 that our pastor did, it's encouraging to me. Giving me goosebumps, reminding me, listen, don't get tied up in the riches of the world, and the deceitfulness of the riches of the world, or the worries of the world. And you know, one word that I have done my best, and I'm doing my best, to get out of my vocabulary, and I sure feel that I've been, and I know, I confess my sin, God, I've claimed it, I'm not claiming it anymore, and it's the word busy. And we got a little thing in here that can sure sand, and this is, you know, Mark 4:19 says, it's a parallel scripture here, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And even in Luke 10:40, the story of Mary and Martha, Luke 10:40 reminds us, but Martha was distracted with all her preparations. Now, all that work needed to be done in the story of Mary and Martha. It did. But there's a time for all things, we have to remember. But this word that I'm getting out of my vocabulary, and if you hear me use it, hey, text me, call me, hit me upside the head, say, hey, you weren't going to use that anymore. And it's the word busy. Because I think it truly represents bound or being under Satan's yoke. And I don't want to be under Satan's yoke. And I tell you, Satan, be gone. I am resisting you, and my word says if I resist you, you must flee. So be gone. Get thee behind me. And he has to do it, because we are in the power and authority of the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so I am not busy anymore. I'm not. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And that takes us back to those I ams. If you want that I am confessional, if you don't have it, hey, you can contact us here at the office. We'll be glad to send you one. We'll be glad to send you 20 or 30 of them. You can hand them out to your friends. Or if you just need three or four to have one everywhere you're at, home and work and in the car, we'll be glad to do that, because it is it's an encouragement, it's a tool, it's an arsenal, it's a weapon that we all have to have, that we all should have. We'll go back to the article here. I think I've got 10 more minutes here. I can get through this article. Let not your heart be troubled. Third, we should consider how it's done. Often the attitude to the words, let not your heart be troubled, is, oh, that's a great idea. Excellent advice and an appropriate command for the other guy. And you know, I'm not going to name names, but I can picture in my mind's eye at least three men that I know that are good, godly, Christian, God-fearing men, good husbands, that would say this very thing. Oh yeah, that's great, absolutely. No, let not your heart be troubled, and that's great advice for you, for that other guy. I got a buddy over here that needs to hear that, but they don't apply it to them. Hey, this is to you. This is to me. This isn't to them. It's to me and you. Sorry, my comments. Back to the article. But my circumstances are different. You just don't understand. I have this and that today. Okay. That's how you want to be. They may be different, but are they worse than the circumstances the apostles found themselves in when they first heard these words? And you think about the circumstances that we've talked about. The truth is, here in the article by the pastor, the truth is the circumstances are different, at least in this respect. The apostles knew all that Christ said would, in fact, happen. See, they knew. They not only believed, but they knew. Whereas most worry, fret, and fume over what might happen, what could happen, and what some predict is going to happen. So how can it be? The answer is right there in the text of John 14:1. I think that's where we started. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. That's the words of Christ, John 14:1. And the answer, how? How do I let not my heart be troubled? How do I be anxious for nothing? As we read about in 6:25 or in Philippians 4:6. And how do I cast all my anxieties upon him, as 1 Peter 5:7 told us? How? How do I do that? And our pastor, in his infinite wisdom, and oh Lord, thank you for it, that this was written down. We go back to the article, the answer is faith. Believe is simply the verb form of the noun faith. Remember, the things impossible with men are possible with God. And that's from Luke 18:27. And the impossible is accomplished through faith, for, as 1 John 5:4 tells us, this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Our faith. We expound more on the point on how to do it in Pastor's Message 566, the incredible but obeyable command. And we have that CD available. I'll have to get with Jason and we'll have to get it in the rotation, get it up playing on the broadcast. Another paragraph or two here and we'll finish up with this article by the pastor, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. For those who worry about the plans of the Antichrist, and remember, this is from 1993. Okay, 22 years ago? For those who worry about the plans of the Antichrist and fear their troops, their guns, their bombs, their concentration camps, their SWAT teams, and the planned annihilation of the white Christian people, remember, fear itself gives them power and brings harm upon you. As an illustration, consider the scientific experiment where researchers placed a mouse cage in a room with a caged cat. Within 6 to 12 months, the mice developed high blood pressure, even though they were perfectly safe from harm. Obviously, they failed to let not their hearts be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Our pastor writes here, it can be done even in 1993, and we add as the editor, also in 2015. It should be done, and it will be done, if we but believe in Him. And 1 John 14:27, as we close out this article, peace I leave you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And that is most of the Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled article that we've brought out of the archives from 1993 and some old newsletters, but some writings of the pastor that we felt needed to be put out to the remnant as a way to continue to tend the sheep, to help the sheep, to encourage one another to love and good deeds. Well, I think we've got a few minutes left here. Yeah, we've got a few. We'll open up the phone lines. Bill had called from Illinois and let us know we were knocked off the air. Got a couple of texts, too, and glad we're back on. Sorry we had that. Our contact information, if you'd like to get this newsletter, we can get it to you several different ways. We can send it to you in an email. And that's what I've been working on the last couple days and should have it finished up in the morning. The online, full-color, interactive with hyperlinks to the website and other places and fully color and printable, readable there on your computer, PDF, Adobe PDF format. We can email that to you. It's not too big, should get through. If you want us to, send me an email here. Send us an email to preacher@sfaw.org and say, hey, send me that Dragon Slayer. Put me on the Dragon Slayer list. We'd be glad to email that to you. Many people like to have it physically in their hands, and I like to have that. I'm anxious to get it. As soon as Jason starts printing it, I'm bugging him. Can I get a newsletter? I want to get a newsletter. I want to look at it. I've worked on it for 2 weeks. I want to see what it looks like in print. And so if you want that print newsletter, we don't charge for it. We sure appreciate donations. This ministry is supported by the tithes and free will donations of the remnant. We don't have fund drives. We don't sell things. We maintain the Bibles and the books and the CDs just mainly to get information out to the people. Those are not money-making things that we do, but it's a way to at least cover the costs. But again, we don't charge for the Dragon Slayer, but it does cost us. But we'd be glad to mail it to you. Our mailing address, if you just want to, maybe you don't do computers or email or anything like that, and that's fine. Our mailing address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And our web address, again, I think we gave it earlier, but again, it's scriptures4america.org. That's scriptures4america.org. So, Dragon Slayer newsletter. I've been using this format for years, and I shouldn't speak too much about it, but we have had people tell us that they enjoy it, they look forward to getting it in the mail, and that that it's a help to them. We also are carrying another book. If you've been tuning in on the Wednesday nights, we've kind of changed up the format on Wednesday night a little bit, and then we're trying to replay that on Friday night as a Friday night program as well, just because we know that there's different people tuning in different nights of the week. But the Wednesday night program, we've started out with an hour of praise music. Hope you enjoyed the music last night, and I certainly did. And then, of course, the Wednesday night prayer meeting. And then we're going to try a new program. It's called Hope is Alive, and it's a deliverance-based program. And so we ask the remnant, we ask you to pray about it. We ask you to tune in and to listen into it, to look up the scriptures given in your Bible, and give it a little while. And let's see how this program goes. It's from a different ministry. And yes, we've looked into that ministry, and the Ramrod went out and met the leader of that ministry, as our pastor did when he was alive. And so we ask you to give it a try. Tune in on the Wednesday nights. Make a three-hour evening of it if you can. And if you can't make it on Wednesday night, we are going to be rebroadcasting that the same hours on Friday night. And Jason will have an announcement on his Gideon's Armory. We're just kind of moving that program around, and he'll have an announcement coming out on that pretty soon. But we encourage you to do that. And one thing that kind of goes along with that program here as we wrap up, and I want to offer it, is we have a book from that ministry called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. And it's a book on deliverance. And so if you're interested in that, it's in this next newsletter. Hopefully you'll be getting that, and we have it up on the website as well in the cart. Well, as we run out of time, we do want to thank you, the remnant, for joining us. I appreciate the texts and the phone call, and we hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you. They when we hear back from you, the remnant, it is certainly an encouragement for us. So again, Friday night, if you missed the Wednesday night program, the three-hour special, tune in Friday night for that. And we invite you to join us all Saturday morning for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. So, hey, going to go out with the same song we came in on. And, hey, if you find yourself going through hell, what you think is hell, your hell and my hell might be two different things. But, you know, as the song says and as the Bible says, keep on going. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Jesus Christ, and He is there with us.
Well,
good evening.
You know those times when you feel like there's a sign there on your back. Says, I don't mind if you kick me. Seems like everybody has. Things go from bad to worse. You think they can't get worse than that, and then they do. You step off the straight and narrow and you don't know where you are. Use the needle of your compass to sew up your broken heart. Ask directions from a genie in a bottle of Jim Beam and she lies to you. That's when you learn the truth. If you're going through hell, keep on going, don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show it, you might get out, for the devil even knows you're there. Well, I've been deep down in that darkness. I've been down to my last match. Filled 100 different demons, breathing fire down my back. And I knew that if I stumbled, I'd fall right into the trap that they were laying. Yeah. But the good news is there's angels everywhere out on the street, holding out a hand to pull you back up on your feet. The ones that you've been dragging for so long, you're on your knees, you might as well be praying. Guess what I'm saying, if you're going through